I can't express my love for my dad. How much I miss him. As Bill Abbott said to me, he said, my dad died when I was 11 when he came to sing at my dad's funeral. He said, you'll never get over it, Gene. And it's true. But my father didn't have a relationship with me that a mother has. She bore me. She carried me in her own body. She bore the pain of bringing me forth. She nourished me. God is taking the role of a mother, allowing himself to be addressed as a mother's womb, saying to his father of faith, I am the breasted one, the mother that will nourish you. Dr. Price translated it, the enough God, all you need. And directly he says in Isaiah 66, as a mother comforteth, so will I comfort. Now I use Jesus' teaching method. He pointed to an unjust judge and someone who kept importuning, keep coming back to justice until finally this judge gives her audience. And he used the earthly illustration to teach a heavenly truth. How much more will your father, who doesn't need that importunity, respond to your call? One who went for bread and kept knocking, how much more will your heavenly father give you bread? As heavenly parents, including the mother, you ask for bread, they won't give you a stone. You ask for fish, they won't give you a serpent. He constantly, from shepherds to every other dimension of life in which he was teaching, used earthly illustrations to try to project the mind, used it like an icon to make us look through that to see him. How much more if love is expressed down here by any instrument, if justice is expressed down here by any instrument, if positive response is expressed down here as an act of love by any instrument, how much more, and I would say today, will your heavenly father and mother do that which is portrayed in the occasional examples of goodness and love down here. And on an Easter many years ago, and most years since, I have said in that frame, using Jesus' method, if a mother's love portrayed in Scripture can reach our heart by the example of that mother's love, how much more, as Jesus did, I will use the trajectory upward to say how much more. Since we're looking at God as a mother on this day, I find biblical mothers expressing love, how much more will our heavenly mother do? The first one I look at is in Exodus 2, Jochebed. Remember, you're a well-taught audience. Moses wanted God to show him his kabbalah, his glory. Her name means Jah, Jehovah's glory. A slave mother in Egypt. First, the Pharaoh ordered the Israeli midwives because of a prophecy that in the fourth generation a deliverer would come, and these Israelites would be freed from slavery. He ordered the Israeli midwives. In the first and second chapter of Exodus, to kill the man-child, all the boy babies that they delivered. Very graphic in Exodus. They didn't do it. He then issued a decree that every male child would be thrown into the Nile, resident of crocodiles. Jochebed was this child. Miriam was about 10 and Aaron was about 3. For 9 months, they didn't have modern methods of diagnosis. She must have anxiously wondered, will it be a boy? The child was born. For months, she had to hide him. The decree was absolute. Any male child found, they didn't have civil rights in those days. They lived in slave quarters. If this child were discovered to be a boy, he's dead. Into the river. For months, she must have anxiously protected that helpless child. Planning, improvising, worrying, thinking, if he cried at night, someone came to see, a boy, he's gone. She protected, she covered, she covered, she hovered, she planned, she improvised, I repeat. Never say die. I call it love to the helpless. She would not give up on that helpless one. She would preserve him. She would save him. She would deliver him. Follow her the night or day as she carries him in a bundle to the Nile, the very river that was to be the destruction of the child. Carries him to the Nile because she knew the Pharaoh's daughter bathed there. And at least 4 times we read that she looked on Moses and he was a goodly child. With a mother's pride, she was sure if the daughter of Pharaoh even looked at him, that daughter would not be able to throw into the crocodiles. Try to get inside the human side of this mother. The fear that must have consumed her, the tension, the worry. She gathered slime, she gathered reeds, she made a basket. And then the time came. She's going to carry him and put him on the river. And there's a side message that God, in this case, uses the very instrument of destruction to save him. Put him on the river and then leave him there. Hoping beyond hope Pharaoh's daughter would come, as was her habit, and leaving the 10-year-old Miriam, 9 or 10, to watch. They didn't have, bottled milk at various grocery stores in Egypt. You nursed natural. And it would be hard for Pharaoh's daughter, not having born a child, to nurse the baby, so they had a plan. Sure enough, down comes the princess. Sees the baby. Mother was right. It caught her eye. And Miriam dashes up and asks, would she like a Hebrew woman to nurse the child, because Jochebed was in nursing capacity. And you know the rest of the story. The point today, as a mother comforter, so will I comfort. The point today, I'm El Shaddai. The point today, Ahamka. Rumor of me. See this earthly mother that just wouldn't give up on the helpless. Now, I fail this message today if nobody here or those listening remembers being helpless. Even in a circumstance you can't deliver yourself, there's nothing you can do, this destruction staring in the eye, all incapacity and quantum leaps is your condition. If an earthly mother would never give up, never keep trying, never stop improvising, never stop until she found the plan, not stopping until the plan is implemented. If an earthly mother will do that for the helpless, how much more our heavenly mother? And in Jochebed's case, it was like the helpless helping the helpless. Know and understand, God, in His loving kindness, is our mother. He's not helpless. The picture of Jochebed is the degree of an earthly mother's love extended for the helpless. How much more if you call upon Him? Will our Heavenly Mother move into your helpless condition? He may even put you right in the center of that which looks like will kill you. But He'll take you through and deliver you. Second mother, you've got to really use your brain to get out of tradition. In 1972, there were 3.7 million names after Mary, the mother of Jesus. I don't want you to look at her in any divine overtones. Simply in John 19, the son that you didn't understand, the son that at Nazareth had turned aside from her claims and said, "Who is my mother?" The son she loved but didn't understand, led through judgment hall after judgment hall, and in John 19, utterly rejected, even his own disciples, maybe not John, fled. And he's hanging on that tree, and the verse says, his mother, Mary, stood by his cross. This is love to the rejected. That's why I said take the divine overtones out. She didn't understand him. She never fully comprehended his messiahship. She could not accept as an earthly mother for this cause. I birthed him for this. It was her son. She with the family thought he's kind of crazy with his claims at Nazareth and would lay hands on him. Even at 12 years of age, you can hear her as a mother getting on to him because he was lost in her view, and they had to go back to Jerusalem, and here he is in the temple, amazing the rabbis. And she gets on to him, and he says, "No, you're not, it must be about my father's business." She didn't understand him. As Jochebed was almost as helpless as Moses, Mary didn't understand why Jesus was doing what he did and why it led him to this, the son of her love, rejected by everybody. Rejected. And this is the helpless to the helpless. This is the rejected to the rejected. He rejected her. Now jump ahead of me to God, because there's a lot of you that need the mother side of God that have rejected him. She played both roles. Rejected by him. And she must have witnessed all of that which is so graphically portrayed in the Passion movie. I haven't seen it, but I hear it's pretty graphic and pretty accurate to the gospel record. She sees him dragging the cross. She sees him stretched out, nailed, the cross go down with a thud. And here he stands with them mocking him at the foot of the cross. Yet his mother stood by him. This is love to the rejected, and I'm sure, I may not have as many helpless, but I'm sure I got some felt rejected listeners. Despicable treatment from everybody. Anybody here? No answer. Or out there on the various places of the world where this message is going right now, rejected? Mary typifies an earthly mother who won't turn her back on her rejected by everyone else son. Mary stood by. If an earthly mother will stand by radiating love to the rejected, How much more those of you that the devil pucks on your shoulder and tells you that there's something in your life, something in your past, something that you have done that makes you the rejected quintessential. And no one, if they knew the truth about you, would love you. Mary didn't have God's knowledge. And yet as our Heavenly Mother, God has knowledge. And He still stands by. If an earthly mother will do this, how much more our Heavenly Mother? 2 Samuel 21. Third mother is Rizpah. She wasn't even the wife of Saul. She was a concubine. She had two sons by him. He had five other sons still alive after he and Jonathan died. And he, Saul and Shane. David is now on the throne. And Saul in his evil days after God forsook him had breached a covenant. God had made a covenant with the Gibeonites back in Joshua's day, that he would never, through his people, allow them to be destroyed with a sword. Saul broke that vow and that covenant, sacredly honored from Joshua's day, and slew the Gibeonites, not all of them. And God began to punish, and David inquired of God, and he found this out. And he called the Gibeonites and says, what can I do to recompense all the slaying that Saul had done? Give us his seven sons, two by Rizpah, the concubine. They didn't spell that out, I am. They just said, give me his seven sons. And they hanged him, all seven of them, on a hill in Palestine. Rizpah, the mother of two, went where these seven sons were hanging, spread sackcloth, and went there in April, it says the barley harvest, which is April on that day. They stayed there night and day, beating off the birds, and beating off the beasts while those seven sons hung there beginning to decay and turning into loathsome, despicable, unattractive things, but not to Rizpah. I'm going to be gruesome and ask you again, go inside this ordinary human little concubine of Saul. Her love as a mother, even extending to the other five, she wouldn't leave them there. Imagine the sun beat on them, the birds, if they'd been allowed, would have pecked on them. They began to decay, they begin to smell, the flesh begins to sag and drain from their frame. Nothing. There's only one word. Loathsome. Loathsome. Despicable. Incapable of beauty. Unlovable. Disgusting. From April until the rains came in late October, 4 months plus, she stayed there night and day. Fighting off the birds, fighting off the beasts. David hadn't heard of it. She probably stayed there or she died. This earthly mother, loving that which, in the natural, is unlovable. How could you love these decaying, gruesome beings hanging there? She did. She protected them. She beat off the birds. She beat off the animals. Dude, they heard about it. And he then intervened and took their bodies down and joined them with the bones of Saul and Jonathan and gave them an honorable burial. But Rizpah is the third mother. As Jochebed portrays a human mother's love for the helpless, never give up, I will find a way to save and deliver. Mary portrays the love of a mother, even when rejected herself, as some of you have done to God, and me on occasions, and you on occasions also, not all the time. She stood by the rejected one. Rizpah continues to love and watch over the despicable and the loathsome. I will believe, because it happens to me. The closer I get to God, the more loathsome I feel, and the greater the distance I see from me to Him. That's why there's no boasting, no my boasting. Through Rizpah, I want you to look as through the other mothers. If an earthly mother, inconceivable, unimaginable, can love that product of her womb and protect it until honor could be given to it, how much more will our Heavenly Mother love you and me in our helpless times when we feel rejected, and those rare, very private times when we think we're so despicable, even God cannot love us. As a mother comforteth, so will I comfort. I'm the mother nourisher, the blessed one. I will love thee, womb from which I came, my Creator, who wanted me to be what He wants me to be. And He won't give up on me. He won't give up on you. These mothers give me a knowledge of what mother's love is. And when God says, as a mother comforteth, so will I comfort, I have gained a knowledge and an understanding of the loving kindness of my Lord. And I boast today in this message that He is that kind of mother. I hope you will receive that and let Him gather you in His loving kindness. And that's my message.